Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello, welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me. Now today, we're starting a brand new series looking at the book of James. And I love the book of James. It's so full of practical wisdom and life lessons, things that we can learn from, things that we can apply into our own walk with Christ, into our own lives. And so as we go through this, I want to do it a little bit differently to as I have some in the past and do more of a study, an in-depth study, going through each section, each passage, each verse so that you can grasp the full blessing of the wisdom that is in here. And I pray, yes, I pray that you will be blessed by this learning just as I have been blessed incredibly, immeasurably by putting together these videos and these lessons as we go. And with each video, I am going to try and keep them short, that 15 to 20 minute mark. Some I'll need to break up into two parts, and I'm sure that's okay. But as we go through it, just keep this in mind. What we see here in the book of James is wisdom that we can apply, all right? It's wisdom for us that we can apply in our walk with Christ. Because the whole point of it, yes, is it not that we should become more like Christ? Well, we can then show that, be that light of the world to others by which our manner of living displays. And I've got to say, I'm the first one. I put my hand up and say that has not always been the case for me. For years, I lived as I wouldn't even say as a Christian. Ever since I first believed, for so long, I did not walk by any means in the Spirit. But I'm learning, and but by the grace of God now, as I go through these, and I want to share that wisdom which I have learned, both from the hard knocks of life, but also from the beautiful grace of God. That's what I want to be able to share with you through this. So I want to ask you, if you would please, to commit to going through each and every one of these as I publish them. Go through them, spend the time, put in the effort, learn from what is written here for us, for the future of our salvation. That's what we find in here. And of course, it presents so well as to how we would walk with Christ. So would you do that for me? Commit to that. I hope you will. All right, folks, let's dig in. First up, the book of James. Even before I begin, let's do a quick recap as we'll have this the start of the whole series. Now, there are four different Jameses in the book of the Bibles. We have the brother of John, the son of Zebedee. We have James, son of Alphaeus. We have James, the father of Judas, not Judas Iscariot. We see that in Luke chapter 6. And then we have this James. Most Bible scholars would certainly agree this James is likely the half-brother of Jesus. So, of course, Mary then and Joseph. And he had an interesting start. I mean, imagine you grow up and you're now a young man and your older brother, he says he's the Messiah, the Savior. What? Well, we see from Matthew 13 and also in John 7, and where I can, I'll give references. Maybe you'll jot them down in a notepad or in the columns there of your Bible. We see that he was an unbeliever. He did not believe that his brother was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And I guess I kind of understand. Not sure I would either. But then we see elsewhere in Scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7, Paul writes how Jesus, after his resurrection, was seen by James and all the apostles. We also see reference in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and verses 13, where James was amongst those who Jesus gave his final words to, saying, "Stay, wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, which is yet to come." And then he was with them when they gathered together in that upper room, all being of one accord, praying for those 10 days, waiting for what is this promise of the Father? We now know, of course, the Holy Spirit. We also know that James played a very important part in the establishment and the role he had in the early church. Galatians chapter 2, Acts chapter 12, verse chapter 15, chapter 21. I give these to you so you can jot them down. I'm praying and hoping that you will go and read through and find the scriptures that I'm talking about. Because just quick side note, if I may, don't just believe me because I say it. No. Get into your Bible. Get into the Word and check it. Confirm it as a good student of Christ always should. Show yourself approved as a good student. This is what Paul wrote to Timothy. So we see this. And then early Christian historians in the sort of 1st and 2nd century AD, they spoke and they wrote about James as being an incredible man of prayer. And they gave him a nickname, I think I'll call it. They gave him an interesting nickname, Camel Knees. But it came because it was said that his knees were hard and calloused from the amount of time that he spent on them in prayer. And so this is James. This is James who was an unbeliever at first and then became a believer when he saw the resurrected Jesus, the Messiah, King. And look how he opens. I think I'll just read through verses 1 through to 8 and then we'll come back. But look at how he opens. James 1, verse 1. James, he identifies himself a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he then says, to whom he's writing this letter to, the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Hello. G'day, we might say here in Australia. My brethren, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, I know we'll come to it, but this is already starting to get difficult for some of us. Verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be complete and lacking nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, verse 5, let him ask of God who gives all liberally and without reproach. It will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7, for let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, right up front, I can tell you we're not going to get through this whole section in this video. I'll do two different videos, two parts. But let's kick off with how he identifies himself. How interesting is this? James, he writes, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't do what so many of us would do. Oh, I'm a friend of, I'm a brother of, my father is. He doesn't identify himself as brother of Jesus. No, instead he calls himself a bondservant. Now this phrase, this terminology used in this time refers not to just a servant, not to a slave by no means, but a person who has voluntarily given themselves to someone in terms of service and no longer considers his own life his. It is not his own. He says he is now a bondservant joined to serve Christ by choice. And then he identifies to whom he is writing to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Now a phrase that you may or may not have heard, the diaspora, that's whom he's referring to. Those who were dispersed throughout the empire. Well, it even began before the Roman Empire, the Assyrian Empire, when they conquered the northern kingdom in 720 or so BC. And of course, the Babylonians and the exile and the persecution from 580 BC. And of course, now Roman and these Israelites are just scattered abroad everywhere. So he writes to them, but more specifically, we know from reading the content, this is interesting, he's writing to not just the Jews, but the Christian Jews, because the message is about Christ. So he writes to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, but those of you whom believe, that have faith in Christ. Greetings. Verse 2, my brethren, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So many of us struggle with this. And the first thing that we need to accept in truth is that trials will come our way. We can't always have it our way. I had a great question from my daughter a little while back. She said, if God loves us so much, why then do we have so much trouble? Why is there so much trouble? And I replied very simply, straight answer, if there were no troubles, no trials, of what need then would we have for God? And if you look back through the testimony of so many in Scripture, even now in modern time, is it not when we come to our knees, when we are broken, when we find ourselves without, that we then look up and go, Father, help me. And depending on the version which you are reading, you might have trials, you might have temptations, you might have troubles. Okay, let's just wrap it up summary quickly. All the same, Jesus himself prayed, lead us not into temptation. All the same. But we need to understand this. There is actually a difference between trials and temptations. We're going to talk more about that in coming videos. Trials, these things for the testing of our faith, we'll talk about that in 1 second, they can come from God. We know that from Scripture. They can. Other times they are allowed by God to come into our lives because of situations, circumstances. In my case, certainly because many of the things that I have done. Temptations, however, are from the enemy. They are from Satan wanting you to respond with evil. Interesting enough, still allowed by God. Let me just clarify this one moment. A trial, God is wanting you to respond with faith. A temptation, the enemy is wanting to you respond with sin, with evil. But why? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, testing in the sense of the manner of being proven in a fire. And I don't mean you're going to prove your faith to God. No. Being proven in a fire, like a sword, like a blade which is being tempered, which is being proven. This is the phrase given to it in the smelting, in the process of strengthening that blade. Proven in the fire. See, the thing is this, God does not need a situation, a circumstance, a trial for you to prove your faith to him. He doesn't. He already knows. But interesting, in such times, it is often either proven or disproven to ourselves. So when we come into these trials, given opportunities to respond in faith, we often find that we don't. And look at the life of Job. Look at the comments from his friends, from his wife. Just give up. Yet proven, still faithful. So know this, God already knows your faith. To each is given a measure of faith. And yes, as the disciples also said at one point, Lord, increase our faith. Yes, absolutely. But how do we increase? How do we strengthen a muscle? We use it. We grab the weight. Yes. We lift the weights. We grow. We become stronger. How do we grow our faith? Be careful if you pray, Father, give me more faith, because you will get opportunities to prove it, strengthen it, test it, and strengthen it in the fire. Yes, you will. That's the way it works. But it's a good thing to pray, because this is what God wants for you. Let me just look at one other word I've got a note here. Fall into various trials. Now, the ESV version says when you meet various trials. The Complete Jewish Bible says when you face various trials. It doesn't matter how it comes about. And I'm going to give a simple example here. And to my shame, many of the examples I give, they are to my shame of how I once handled a situation. But I'm a motorbike rider. I don't own a car. I haven't owned a car for nearly 20 years. I'm a motorbike rider. Road rage is a real thing when you're on a motorbike, because so many people out there are literally trying to kill you. Well, they're not really, but it certainly seems it. And so many examples of the way in which I would respond to a thing, it was not in faith. Certainly not. It was not even in a spirit. And sometimes this is part of life. We need to understand this. The goal, to become more like Christ. Absolutely the goal. We can choose, however, each day, choose life, we are told in Scripture, but we can also choose to walk in the Spirit, or we can choose to walk in the flesh. The carnally minded Christian, yes, I believe in you, God, I have faith in you, yet I've still got one foot in the world and no intentions of changing. That is the carnally minded Christian, according to Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In Romans 7, we read and we learn about the natural man versus the spiritual-led man, again, the carnal man also. This is a real thing. The goal is to become more Christ-like. Why? So that we can reflect and be that light of the world and reflect Him. We may truly only be sometimes the only Bible, the only version of Christ that people ever see. And with so much, I'm just going to say this as it is, with so much bad behavior amongst Christians, God is getting a bad name. Christianity is getting a bad name. And again, to my shame, in my past, I have contributed to that, and I'm so ever sorry for such. But here we see, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, or depending on the version you're reading, endurance or perseverance. Why? Why? Well, it's all about waiting on the Lord. Where do we display and show patience? We show it when we are waiting on something. So here, faith is waiting on the Lord, because when a trial comes our way and God has allowed this, or we see in Scripture examples, even brought it into our lives, He wants us to respond with faith. Faith that He will deal with the situation. So patience is very much needed in this situation. Our failures so often is our inability to wait on God, and then we go and do. Let me do this. If I can just do that, it will fix it. Now, we're not just supposed to sit on our butts and do nothing, but we must trust in our Lord and our Savior that He will work it out, because all things, what? Work to good for those who love Christ Jesus. Here's the missing bit so often, who are called according to His purpose. Who's His purpose? I'll use the example I've got written here, Genesis 16, Abraham, the birth of Isaac, Hagar, he went to the servant girl and Ishmael was born. No patience. He'd received a promise from God. No patience. I can do this myself. But instead, he went and did it himself rather than be patient and wait on the promises of God. Folks, faith and waiting go hand in hand. Let me wrap up with this for this video. Faith and waiting go hand in hand. If you want one, you're going to get the other. You have to practice them both together. So we'll come back in a moment. Next video, number 4, let patience have its perfect work. Oh, this is the reason why. This is the good bit. Don't miss it. I want to keep these as quick as I can, allowing you to go through them, chew on them a little bit, take some notes, pray over them. And as I said, I pray that you will dig into these scriptures and be blessed as much. Receive as much blessing from these as I have in preparing them. All right, folks, God bless. Have a fantastic week. I'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.